A Pod Forte Podcast.
The next CMO podcast explores topics that are on the minds of forward-thinking marketing executives, from leadership and strategy to emerging technologies. And we bring these topics to life by interviewing leading experts in their fields. The Next CMO is sponsored by Planful for Marketing, a leading marketing performance management solution that automates marketing planning, financial management, and ROI optimization. And hosted by me, Peter Mahoney, an experienced CMO, CEO, board member, and executive advisor. In this episode of the Next CMO podcast, I speak to Melissa Sargent, the CMO of AlphaSense. AlphaSense is the easiest and fastest way to search and monitor companies, topics, and industries across thousands of premium business data sources, all in one platform. It's used by over 3,500 companies, and the company has grown by leaps and bounds, doubling their employee count from 600 to 1,200 in the last year alone. Melissa has a 72-person marketing organization, and we go into depth around how she organizes that function to support the multiple audiences and verticals that AlphaSense markets their products to, how they're leveraging the insights of their platform and thinking about new technologies like generative AI to change the way they do marketing in the future. I am sure you'll enjoy the show. Hey, Melissa, thank you so much for joining me on the Next CMO podcast. Really excited to learn more about you and AlphaSense, and maybe we can start with you. So give us a little bit of your background, Melissa. How did you get here today?
So I have been at AlphaSense for a little over a year. This is my fourth CMO role. I've always been a CMO in B2B SaaS and have been in technology marketing for about 30 years across pretty much every industry you can imagine.
Oh, that's great. And I know you worked for some pretty big companies along the way. You did a bunch of time at CA, I think. So if I have that right, and based in Raleigh, did I get that right too?
So I live in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I spend most of my time, most of our executive team is in New York City. So I take the hour flight up there a couple times a month to see the crew in person. But yes, I live in Chapel Hill and work remotely.
A lot of really great marketers in North Carolina, by the way. So it's amazing. I'd have to go through my network, but Brenda Hodge. So Brenda was my successor at Nuance, where I was. So I was the CMO there, and then did a bunch of different things. And then Brenda, when they became much more healthcare centric, she's a great marketer, really great person too. So
yeah, there's a really burgeoning tech community here, particularly like in the Durham area. And there's also, we're strong in healthcare as well as pharma. So there are some really strong marketers and a great community down here.
Well, great. And tell us, set the table a little bit with a little bit of info about AlphaSense. What do you all do? Because it's going to be super interesting and relevant to our listeners, I think.
Sure. AlphaSense, it's a market intelligence platform, and it's used by a lot of the world's leading companies and financial institutions. And we have this AI-based technology that really helps knowledge professionals make better business decisions by delivering those really compelling insights from a vast universe of public and private content. So you can think of like company filings, event transcripts, expert call transcripts, news, trade journals, and equity research. We gather all this information from over 10,000 data sources, and we have access to research from all of Wall Street's key analyst firms, including like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley. And we really help them to do this by combining this amazing content with our AI. We're able to help these knowledge workers uncover business insights in minutes versus hours and days.
All right. Well, sounds pretty cool. And it's kind of unfair, though, because I know it's always been my secret to differentiate myself I often, when I'm talking to a company and a customer, especially a new prospect, I often spend time going through their SEC filings as an example, if they're a public company, because you learn so much from it. It's amazing, but it's a lot of work. But for the right kind of high value interaction, it's really valuable to spend some time and you learn everything. You learn, you know, what are their goals? Who are their competitors? What are their challenges? What keeps them up at night? Those kinds of things, you really get a lot of that, but it is a lot of work. And I imagine that trying to do that at scale is quite complex.
Yes. And if you think of, like, we're in earnings seasons right now, it's heavy earnings season right now. So there are all of these analysts that have all of these earnings calls that they have to listen to and all of this information that they need to synthesize very quickly. And it can be very time consuming if you're trying to do that manually and listen to those things in real time and then get the transcript and try to control F your way to just find some nugget of information that you're trying to find. And with AlphaSense, we can totally streamline that process for them and enable them to really get through earnings season with all the information they need in a really time efficient way.
Great. Very cool. So now give us a little bit of context around what's the scale of the company, how long they've been around, and then we want to go into your marketing a little bit, but give us a sense of the scale of AlphaSense.
Yep. So we've been around for a little over 10 years. We've got over 3,500 enterprise customers across the globe, a majority of the S&P 500. The way we're organized is we span pretty much every vertical. So the company really started with a core around financial services, and that makes a lot of sense. But we also sell to corporations. So you can think of life sciences as big for us, energy and industrials, technology, media, and telecom, as well as even CPG. And we sell into different personas. So if there, it's the competitive intelligence person, or the investor relations person at these companies, or if you're in corporate strategy and corporate development, the platform provides, because of the breadth of information that we provide, it's relevant to all of these different personas, not just in financial services for analysts, which is a big part of our business, but we really span a range.
So you've got a broad set of audiences that you're marketing to, obviously, with lots of different, like you said, lots of different personas. And so how do you approach that? Talk about how marketing works at AlphaSense.
Yes, the range of personas and the different industries really makes the marketing of it have to be highly personalized to those segments and personas, because each of them has very different jobs. And so within our marketing organization, we have segment marketers who sit in product marketing for us. And we have them, we actually pulled them out of their industries and were nurturing them around their marketing skills versus trying to find a marketing person and then immerse them in their industries. And we did this, our sales organization is fully verticalized from top to bottom. From the time if you enter the company as an SDR, you will pick a vertical and you will really embed yourself into that vertical. And it's important because you have to understand the most topical and important issues within that industry, work within the platform to help those prospects and customers connect those dots so that it's highly relevant for them and that they can see that, oh yeah, this is something I need to be using every single day. So in marketing, we've matched that up as well. We have segment marketers. The inbound team sits in marketing. So we have them in different pods separated by financial services and by corporates as well. And that's really to make sure that from the moment, the very first time somebody engages with us, however that is, if they come and they find, if you're in an energy and industrials and you see some piece of content that we're promoting that you've received from us, that the time you get that first piece of content to when you're ready to have a conversation with us, that you're talking to people who really understand your business pains, and what you're trying to do. And it does create a challenge from a marketing perspective because you have to balance having all of these different personas, all of these different industries, and then wanting to have a consistent message that the entire team is laddering up to. And so how we handle that is we do these really umbrella messages that are topical, like economic uncertainty is, you know, something that everybody's talking about. And they're talking about it slightly different in each of these verticals. So we will have that as a primary theme within the quarter or two quarters or possibly even the year. And then we uniquely design specific programs within those verticals to ladder up to that overall message, because we want there to be a consistent message in market about AlphaSense, but we also want to get the benefits of, you know, doing random acts of marketing where you're doing 100 different things, but none of them are interconnected or interrelated in a compelling way. So it is a challenge to balance both those things. It's probably one of the top things that we discuss in marketing is like, how do we get better at this? And as we're a company that's growing very rapidly, when I joined AlphaSense, I think there were 600 people. Today, you know, just a year later, we've got over 1,200 employees, and the company isn't showing any signs of slowing down. And so how do we do these kinds of things that are highly personalized at scale?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I love the fact that you sourced that expertise from the markets that they serve. I think it is really smart, because that is the hardest thing to get. In fact, I'm in a writing jag right now, because I'm about to launch something new, because I'm just like that.
One of the
things that I've been writing about a lot is how do you actually build a real meaningful thought leadership program? And one of the key tenets to success, I believe, is getting someone who actually has credibility and is deep in the area. And, you know, we were just talking about Nuance a couple minutes ago. And so we had doctors on staff, as an example, who were, you know, our thought leaders, and they talked to customers and they wrote stuff and they had people who helped them edit, but they were awesome. And they were the content people. And you really need the depth of doing that. Now, in your world, though, it's interesting because you talked about this interlock framework that you have. So you've got an overlaying at the top end, you've got a brand message and brand promise, et cetera. You've got these key themes, these key campaign themes that you're driving. And then you've got this vertical audience-based kind of messaging. So what's the connection point? I guess, who owns the plan? So if you say that, hey, I need to take, you know, 100% of my plan and I divvy it up, is there an owner by segment in your organization who's the throat to choke around, hey, this person has to be the one who's the success metrics for that particular vertical?
So we have an integrated marketing planning process that we do, and we plan by quarter. We're starting to get to rolling planning so that we're kind of always in planning mode, but we started with a quarterly integrated marketing planning framework that's broken into key initiatives. The person who really runs point on executing that across our organization, because we have 72 people in marketing, that's a lot of people to coordinate, is our VP of revenue marketing, really runs point on the integrated marketing plan and making sure everybody's hitting the key milestones there. But from the very beginning, we agree on, okay, these are our quarterly themes. And then once we interlock on that, the teams go off and start building their plans. And we have orchestrated touch points to make sure, like, customer marketing is aligned with what the demand gen team, who's focused on bringing net new folks into the funnel, so that, again, we want to avoid the random acts of marketing and you're doing 100 things, executing them, but you're not getting the lift that you need. And so throughout that process, we have these different interlocks and then a readout at the end internally within our organization to make sure all these pieces fit together. And some of it, honestly, like, doesn't always fit perfect. There might be something that we need to do that doesn't quite fit in, and that's fine. What we're looking for is really 80% so that we can get that lift and that everybody's on the same page with the goals, and that when we have opportunities to run campaigns that can easily span multiple verticals, or it might be a consistent persona across those multiples, and like 80% of the business planes are, you know, consistent, we try to make sure that we prioritize those as well, because otherwise you can get into this place of just doing a lot of things and not achieving the lift that you're expecting.
Yeah. And does the marketing alignment match the overall business alignment? So do you have BUs that are focused on those verticals as an example?
We don't really have BUs. We are in this process of recruiting sector heads for each of them who sort of speak for the sector. And again, those are people that we're bringing out of their industry into AlphaSense as a whole. So they would interlock with sales as well as marketing as well as products. But yeah, that's how we handle that.
Yeah. And now lean back and squint a little bit and give us a sense of the overall marketing strategy that you are deploying at AlphaSense.
So when we do an OKR process overall at AlphaSense, so our CEO starts when we start the planning process in September, comes out with his key initiatives that he really wants across the organization. Now, mine, I can probably even guess mine for 2024 at this point, because we are in such a hyper growth stage that we're very focused on building, you know, quality pipeline. We're also a company that potentially could be a publicly traded company at some point. So I expect us to be doing more things around overall brand, but we go through that OKR process where he lays them out. I have my goals from him. I take his overall ones and map those to the key initiatives across my team. And those key OKRs that I have are those pillars that I was just describing in the integrated marketing plan. And then everybody's goals, whether we're doing their OKRs or their quarterly goals, are aligned top to bottom. And that keeps us aligned as an organization around how are we going to make sure that we're not off and running doing something interesting in marketing that actually doesn't line up to what the company does. And so our strategy is really in a couple different areas. We have a whole initiative around bringing in net new logos into the organization, just like you would typically see it in a B2B SaaS company. And we run a bunch of plays and campaigns around that. We also have, we've been rebuilding our customer marketing initiative. Historically at AlphaSense, it had been very advocacy focused. And we made an intentional pivot this year to customer lifecycle marketing. So we've got, our team is brand new there. It's like 6 months they've been in seat. And so we're doing customer journey mapping, like all the core stuff to really put in a comprehensive customer marketing function so that we're not just going and asking for reviews and success stories, of which we're still doing that and we need more. But we're actually engaging with customers from the moment they, you know, come into the platform. We also have, we acquired a company right before I started called Stream, which is in the expert transcript library area. And we've done some growth marketing things in there that were a little different than AlphaSense's traditional sales-led motion. And so we have a growth marketing team that we're not really PLG yet here, full like you give us a credit card. I've worked at companies that you do that, but we're starting to embed some of those practices around engaging customers in the platform, exposing different parts of the platform to them so that they'll expand and grow with us. And then we also have a group that does product marketing and does all the traditional things of product marketing in terms of go-to-market, sales enablement, staying, launching new products, you know, all the core things, analyst relations there. And then our other group is our corporate and brand marketing team. So we've really amplified our PR and social game in the last 12 months and getting our CEO out there speaking more, getting more attention for some of the, we've been fortunate to acquire some companies along the way. We've been fortunate to be able to raise money in a time when other companies have not been as successful. We've been fortunate to have some new capabilities that were coming to market around generative AI at a time when everybody's talking about that. So we've been really amplifying that message to drive more, you know, thought leadership and PR for AlphaSense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Now, you've got a complex set of sales motions, it sounds like. There's a new customer acquisition thing. There's, I assume, with this kind of a product, there's a great opportunity to land and expand in accounts, and net revenue retention is probably a huge target for the company. And then you've got cross-sell because you've done these different things. So you've got a lot of different things. Now, it's interesting because it sounds like you've got a strong product marketing function, but you also have this sort of segment marketing thing, and the interlock between them can always be a little bit tricky. I'm just curious how you do that and who wins in a battle, right? Is it the product marketers overall have the, you know, or do the segment marketers say, no, you're not going to talk to my segment about that product? So who wins in that battle?
So the segment marketing team sits in product marketing. They are segment product marketers. So they're highly interlocked. And they stay in the loop with what's happening from a product development perspective. But just like, you know, a product marketer, a good part of their job is to understanding what's happening in the market and what, you know, customers care about and what those pains are and what the competition is doing. The segment marketers are doing the exact same thing and providing that guidance and insight on, like, here are the key issues within my segment, within energy and industrials. And it's up to them to interlock with the content marketing team. Hey, you know, next quarter, these are some really key initiatives that are happening in my segment. I want to make sure that we've got an ebook or we've got, you know, a steady stream of blog content. Then they go over to, on the demand gen side of the house, to the campaign leaders, who we have two campaign leaders, you know, one's focused on financial services, the other one spans the rest of corporate, to make sure the campaigns interlock with what they're seeing in the market, what the content team is going to be doing, producing from a content perspective, and what campaigns we're going to roll all of this underneath. So there has to be a lot of transparency, trust, and interlock throughout the process. So I would say, I don't know who wins. I usually don't see the actual negotiations, but we know that the market always wins. So we try to, you know, stay and align with what the segment marketers are telling us is happening in market.
Well, that's great. Well, and thanks for walking us through that, Melissa. I think that this stage of your growth, I mean, obviously you got a big team and the company's expanding a lot. This stage of the growth of a company is almost one of the most difficult, where you've got to get to this point where you're doing historically monolithic kind of marketing to this very detailed segmentation thing. And that ownership thing and interlock can be organic and messy. And it sounds like you've got some good practices in play. I do want to see if we can talk a little bit about what your thoughts are around the idea of applying sort of data and insights into marketing, because you've got this unprecedented access to information. So you've got this unfair advantage, I think, as a marketer, because you've got, you know, the world of data in your world. And I imagine there are a number of different applications of that data. One of them I could assume, I mean, you've already talked about the idea of really trying to mine the verticals for just the key topics and just targeting your message and your content more effectively, because you know what's going on and you know what's on the mind of your audience at large, and even the individual companies, you have a sense for what's going on. And the other is kind of signals. There's a signal thing that says that, hey, someone announced not so great earnings. That's probably a signal. Or great earnings, that's a signal. Or I'm sure it's much more sophisticated than that. But give us a sense of the kinds of data insights that marketers should be considering to be more effective in their marketing results.
So you're right. I definitely have a competitive advantage here in that we get to use AlphaSense and we use it every single day, and particularly our segment marketers, as well as our content marketing team. We have a feature. You said trending topics. We actually have a feature in the platform that's called trending topics so that we can see what key topics people are talking about. And that actually informs our decisions on the content marketing side. Now, we'll combine with what we're seeing in the AlphaSense platform and still go to tried and true marketing tools like GA to look at what we're seeing happening there to make sure that it's, you know, we're seeing consistent themes and trends. And I think for marketers who don't have access to, you know, a tool like AlphaSense, most of my time in the data and before I came to AlphaSense, this is the first time I've had a tool like this in my bag, I was spending, and I spend a lot of time today, and we actually have a marketing data scientist on our team who really helps us understand how our different channels are performing. This is much more than, you know, just looking at how much pipeline marketing is sourcing. We want to look at the complete picture. And so we have a pretty sophisticated tech stack. We use Visible for multi-touch attribution. But that was one of the fundamental changes that we've made in the last year, was making sure that everybody in marketing at every level, one, understands the financial goals of the company, two, what those financial goals mean from a marketing perspective, and then three, a double click into that so that they can see in real time what channels that are working for us, which ones are underperforming. And we do it by segment. And we have, just like a lot of people, our quarterly business reviews. We go over the previous quarter and then we talk about what we learned from that and what's coming up in the next quarter. But we're very sophisticated around that and understanding the core data of the business and what's actually moving us forward.
Well, that's great. It sounds like there's a pretty sophisticated approach. And have you made any major sort of big aha discoveries with this kind of approach? So have you found that, hey, here's something that if I do my ROI analytics and say that, hey, this is generating, you know, 4x my investment, and so I'm going to quadruple my spend on that thing, or this thing is hemorrhaging money, I'm just going to stop. Have you had the opportunity to identify with this kind of analytics anything meaningful like that?
We have, you know, and we see some of our top performing channels, and we've made a lot of investments in marketing. So we had to rebuild our website last year. Sort of the navigation wasn't great and sort of the whole infrastructure. So we've been looking really closely at our direct traffic to the site, the organic traffic to the site, and looking at the investments that we made last year and those optimizations and how they're yielding results for us this year. Email is still a tried and true. I was a CMO at Litmus, so I have a personal passion for email. Email is a great channel for us. But one area where we saw is, you know, supporting all of these different industries, everybody has all these conferences and events that they want to do that are really specific to their industries. And last year, you know, when people were, we were sort of coming out of COVID and it was time to go back to events, we had ramped up our investment and a lot of these very specialized events. And then when we went back and did the double click, we had some ones that were really core for us, particularly like in life sciences. There's lots of those key ones that you really need to be at. But we also saw a bunch that didn't really perform for us the way we thought they would. And combining that insight with, are we in this recession or not? This economic uncertainty that we're all trying to manage. A lot of the time, a lot of companies, the first thing they'll cut is travel and education for people. So we dialed back on some of that and channeled those dollars into our digital, which, because we had done all of this great foundational work, we were starting to see much better returns on paid media and those kinds of things. So it's always, I feel like it's like flying a plane. Like your hands are always on the wheel. You've got all of these instruments and we're always trying to optimize for where we get the best bang.
So how do you think about longer term investment strategies? So you talked a little bit about the potential someday, maybe AlphaSense goes public. and you have to think about, you know, a broader brand programs over time. How do you think about those in the context of, and how do you think about defending those investments while you're trying to make very, in some cases, very tactical decisions about the short term? And it's always a dilemma for a CMO who has to think strategically but deliver tactically. How do you personally handle that, Melissa?
Yes, I think it's setting expectations that, you know, we have this amazing insight into, particularly around demand gen. We can show a clear line from this person engaged with us here, and we can show you all the breadcrumbs all the way to closed one. When you're talking about broader brand awareness, if somebody drives by, you know, some out-of-home advertisement or was listening to a podcast that you sponsored, you're not going to necessarily see that the same kind of breadcrumb. So I think it's about setting those expectations up front that we're not going to be able to show you this with the precision that you've become very comfortable with us showing you related to pipeline. But these are important investments that we have to make as a company, particularly as a company that aspires to be a publicly traded company. And more importantly, is that we have to do this work before we file an S1, right? You have to get to a certain level because you can't, you know, the day after you file the S1, buy a Super Bowl commercial, but you can maintain the level that you've established. So you really have to think very far in advance around branding and that kind of broader market awareness.
So when you communicate these kinds of decisions to, do these decisions reach the board level? Do you have board level discussions that talk about levels of investment in marketing or you know, whether or not to do a brand a discussion, or does that maintain sort of a discussion level just within the management of the company?
Pretty much within the management of the company. If we were ready to unveil something new, we might give the board a first look and explain to them that this is part of our total initiatives around marketing, but pretty much it would be between our CEO and our CFO and myself.
Makes sense. And how do you have the discussion with a CFO about the thesis behind your brand investment?
So it's, you know, I'm getting ready to do this very soon. So this is a very timely question around that. I think the way we're setting it up is that we have a very agile environment that we work at AlphaSense. You know, I think there's still that entrepreneurial spirit, even though we're a bigger mid-sized company. Now that we're willing to try things, but we always have a checkpoint and say, you know, how is this going? And what are we seeing that makes us think that this is working? And what are we seeing that, you know, maybe potential headwinds or things that didn't turn out quite the way we did? And so that's how we will approach it with brand awareness, with a lot of caveats. And I always tell my team, if you said something 10 times, you need to say it 11, of me constantly repeating myself that this is different than demand generation. We're playing the long game here. We can do things like brand equity studies to get a baseline, you know, snap a baseline and see where we are. And then 6 months later, take a look at, you know, how that has changed. If it has changed, there's different tools that we can use for that. But it's a very different thing for the company. And so some of it is trust in that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. You really have to have that relationship with your CFO. And that if it doesn't go the way it is, that you have to be intellectually honest that, you know, you'll share that, those insights and what's going well and why you think it's going well.
Well, I think you're thinking about it the right way, especially around the idea of, I think about them as sort of tracking indicators of performance. And the other thing that has to be embedded there is the thesis for, you know, to what end? Why am I doing this? What is the expectation of the business impact of a brand investment? And it has to be something. Either you're going to elevate the category and have more people, you know, identify that they need a platform like AlphaSense because they understand the pain, or it's about brand preference. And if you're in market with competitors, you're going to increase the likelihood that you're going to be the chosen vendor and your win rate will go up over time. But there has to be math there. And yes, when you're talking to the CFO and the CEO and the board, at the end of the day, you can, I believe, really tie it to math. Sometimes it can be a little bit less precise. It has to be longer term. And you have to identify these early tracking metrics that say that this isn't the business result, but it is. We know that if this metric is improving over time, we suspect that we're going to be on track for the our ultimate result, which may be improving our win rate or improving our inbound organic kind of opportunities, et cetera.
Yep.
So that's great. Well, we are about at that time. I don't know how it always goes so quickly, but it does. And for me anyway, it may feel like painful and awful for you, but for me, it's gone pretty quickly. And I do have to ask you our question that we always ask everyone, which is, what advice would you give Melissa to current or aspiring CMOs?
I think it's never stop learning. Our industry changes a lot, and I've been doing this for over 30 years now. And I look back in terms of when digital became popular and sort of how some marketers made the turn and some marketers didn't make that turn. And I think we're at that inflection point now with generative AI. I think most marketers today, modern marketers, understand they have to be steeped in the data. They have to know what channels are performing. They have to be able to drive ROI and be able to show that, upon request every day. But now is another one of those key inflection points where I'm looking at generative like the early days of the internet, and you can see all of these different potential applications, and they really need to be thinking about how they can apply these new compelling technologies to, whether it's to drive more efficiency or just starting to run some fun programs with ChatGPT in terms of just brainstorming sessions with your content team. But that you really have to embed that systemic, never stop learning mentality for yourself and within your organization to stay relevant, because things change so quickly.
They certainly do. And we're recording this in the middle of May. It may hit the launch. We'll be on Chat GPT-17 by then in a few weeks, and the world will be changed again. But yeah, I think you're right. This is a huge moment, I think, in the world in general, and certainly in our domain. It's going to make everything different. So I really appreciate that. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Melissa. Really enjoyed talking to you about all of the details of how you make things work and tick at AlphaSense. It seems like things are going really well. Excited for that. So for those of you who are still listening, make sure you follow The Next CMO and Planful on Twitter and LinkedIn and all those good places. And if you have ideas for topics or guests, you can email us at thenextcmo@planful.com. And have a great day. Thanks again.
Pod Forte Podcast.